والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us His love. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of those actions that will gain His love. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people that love the ones that He loves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering by which we increase our love for the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and an understanding, a deeper understanding and appreciation for his seerah. We're in the 9th year of Hijrah, so we're only about 2 years away from the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a lot of the work had been put in for so many years, for the last 20 years. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left no stone unturned to get this message of La ilaha illallah to everyone. He was doing everything that he could and he went through so much difficulty. And it was in the 9th year that a surah was revealed. And that surah was Suratul Fath. And in that surah, it's a small surah, many of our children, we learn it as children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْ. When the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, والفتح, and victory comes. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you, O Muhammad, at that point, start to see people coming into the deen, أَفْوَاجًا, and groups and groups and groups of people. The 9th year of Hijrah was known as Amul Wufud. It was the year that these large delegations were coming from all around the Arabian Peninsula. And they were coming, why? To accept Islam. They were coming to meet the Prophet. Some of them had political reasons. Some of them came and they didn't even accept Islam. But they came to say that, we're rolling with you guys. We're rolling with the Muslims now. You guys are in charge. Ibn Ishaq, he explains, he was like, there were so many Arab tribes that they were just waiting to see what happened between the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Quraysh. They just wanted to wait. They were bandwagon. They weren't going to do something themselves. They just wanted to wait and see what would happen. And so when Fath Mecca happened and all of the subsequent things happened, and then finally, as we talked about last week, the Muslims went all the way to Tabuk to face the Byzantine Empire. The Arabs, they realized that this is it. Islam is the way. And we should all be with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here's the deal. What do you do? What do you do when you reach that point? All of us are grinding. We're grinding at school. We're grinding at in our families. We're trying to make money for our families. We're trying to move forward, right? What do you do when you get there, though? What do you do when, you know, you get wifey, you get a husband, you get the children, you got the square footage, you got 2 cars in the garage, you got all of it. What do you do? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reaching this clutch moment where that's it. The job is over. But what happens, the verse is so beautiful because the verse, it says, what do you do at that point? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. At that point, go back to what it was all for. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ. The verse says, glorify your Lord and praise Him. Meaning you've accomplished the objective. You got there now. But the real objective was the pleasure of Allah. It was so that people could be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now you got there. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, what do you do? So they used to see him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started saying, Subhanallahi wa bihamdi, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayk. Glory be to Allah, I seek forgiveness and I turn to Him. And he was saying this regularly. And the Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, they used to watch him close. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, we're seeing you do something you didn't do before. Like you're saying these words we never heard you say before. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was given a sign. And when I saw that sign, then I was told I was supposed to do something. And later we found out it was this. It was this surah. When all these people were now coming and accepting Islam and they were coming one after the next, the whole 9th year, all it was were different clans coming one after the next and the Prophet interacting with them. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was only 13 years old when the Prophet passed away. But he was special. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he grabbed one of his other young sahabis, young homies, whatever. And he said to him, he said, listen, why don't we go right now and we go learn from the sahaba, whatever they know. He's only 13 years old. And his friend, he goes, Habibi, there's big Sahaba here. Your dad, Umar, Abu Bakr. Who's going to need anything from us? Well, there's no need for me and you to learn. So Abdullah bin Abbas, he goes, all right, I went by myself. And he started to sit at the doors of companions just to learn one hadith from them. And they would come out and they would see him sitting there. And they would say, yo, you're related to the Prophet. Like, you just knock at the door. And he would say, no, it's knowledge. I have to humble myself for knowledge. So one day, Umar has a whole group of like the senior companions. I mean, these are Badr people from way back. And they're all sitting in this gathering so he could talk to them and take opinions from them. And Umar has next to him Abdullah bin Umar, who's only like 16 now, 17. Because the Prophet, he passed when he was 13, 2 years later. So he's only 15 or 16. So the Sahaba, they say, we're here to talk, but why is this young one in here? And they said, we got sons his age. And Umar says, well, hold on. I want everyone to tell me what Suratul Fath means. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Tell me what the surah means. So they all went around and they all said Fath Makkah. They all said Hudaybiyah. They said all this. He listened to everyone. And then he looks at the 16-year-old, Abdullah. He says, Abdullah, what do you say? He said, the surah is just announcing the Prophet is about to pass away. And Umar said, see? That's why he's here. This whole surah was telling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, your mission has come to a close. And now that the mission has come to a close, you're going to see people coming in one after the next, accepting Islam. And now your focus is just to focus back on Allah. Turn your heart towards Allah. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِي. And here's the crazy part about it. What's amazing is, it says, glorify your Lord, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. You would think at the end, people get arrogant, like I made it. But for the believer, as we reach the goals, we become more humble. So that's why the verse says, seek forgiveness. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And so this surah was revealed. And slowly but surely, all of these tribes start to arrive in Medina. All of them for different reasons. So we're going to go through some of the tribes. There were over 50 tribes that came. There's no way we could do all of them, but there were some that were really special encounters, and we learned so much about who he was, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was one man by the name of Dhamam bin Tha'laba. Dhamam bin Tha'laba, he came, and he's a Bedouin. And you got to understand something about the Bedouins. They're not from the city. And so the Bedouins are a little rougher, and they would say whatever came to their mind. And the Sahaba low-key loved them. The Sahaba loved them because the Sahaba, they had edib. So they would ask questions really politely, this, that. When the Bedouin came, he would just ask anything. He would just ask anything. And the Sahaba are like, yes, it's about to get lit in here. They would love it. Umar said, we love when the Bedouins came. So the Imam comes into the masjid. And he's a leader of his people. So he comes into the masjid. And Anas bin Malik says, بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٍ. We're sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam في المسجد. فَدَخَلَ رَجُلٌ. A man comes to the masjid door and he أَنَاخَ جَمَلَهُ. He parks his car, you could say. And then he comes into the masjid. And the moment he walks in, just imagine a group sitting down. He goes, أَيُّكُمْ مُحَمَّد. He goes, which one of y'all is Muhammad? Bro, chill. No, he comes in, which one of y'all? You know what's amazing? The Sahaba say, they say, this one shining. Their words, they say, this one shining right here leaning. The one shining right there, that's him. That's the words they use. Like, you can't see that nor. You know what the scholars, they say, subhanAllah? You walk into his masjid, you can't tell the difference. He's sitting with everyone else. He doesn't have a special spot for him put up in the corner. He's just sitting. Someone walks in that's never been there. He sees 30, 40 people, and he goes, which one of y'all is Muhammad? The humility of this man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this stage of his life. He's just sitting amongst them. So he says, Ayyukum Muhammad. When Nabi Muttaqi', the Prophet was leaning back amongst us. So we said, Hadha Rajulul Abyad. Yeah, this man shining right here. That's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala lahu rajul. He says, Ibn Abdul Muttalib. He's like confirming. You're the grandson of Abdul Muttalib? He goes, yeah. Qala, the Prophet says, Qad ajabtuka. He didn't even say like, yes. He says, you've been replied to. You know who I am. Faqala inni as'aluka. He goes, I'm going to ask you some questions and I'm going to be straightforward. Don't get angry. like subhanAllah, he's not cutting around any corners. He says, I'm going to ask you straightforward. Please don't get angry. The Prophet looked at him and says, I don't get angry. I don't get it. You don't know me. I don't get angry over these things. Ask what you want to ask. He says, As'aluka bi Rabbik. I ask you by Allah and by the Lord of those before you. Allah sent you to people with this message? The Prophet said, Allahumma na'am. He says, oh Allah, yes. Oh Allah, yes. He says, I ask you, by Allah, did Allah order you to pray 5 times a day in the day and the evening? He says, Allahumma na'am. The Prophet says, yes. He says, by Allah, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell you to fast 1 month in a year? He's going through what he learned. The Prophet says, yes. He says, by Allah, did Allah order you that you take charity from the rich and then you give it back to the poor? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Allahumma na'am. He looks at him in his eyes and he says, Amantu bima jittabi. I believe in what you have brought. Wa ana rasulu man wara'i. I'm a messenger for my people. Min qawmi. And my name is Dhamam. And I'm from Banu Bakr. Another narration says that as he walked into the masjid, he was whispering something under his tongue as if he was like rehearsing what he was going to say. And the Sahaba say, we saw him walk in, but we couldn't understand what he was saying. And so he comes and he starts to ask about Islam. And he asked the Prophet, are there 5 prayers that we have to pray? The Prophet says, yes. He says, Hal alayya ghayra. This is important. SubhanAllah. Look at how the Prophet is spreading Islam in these days. He says, do I have to pray anything else? He says, no, except if you want to do extra. He says, and we have to fast 1 month in Ramadan, right? Hal alayya ghayra. Is there anything else I have to do? Is there anything else? The Prophet says, no, except if you want to do extra. And then he mentioned charity. And he says, is there anything else? He keeps repeating, is there anything else? Is there anything else? The Prophet says, no, that's it. Unless you want to do extra. SubhanAllah, the Sahaba, they say, فَأَدْبَرَ. He turned around. He got his answers. He asked his question. He got his answer. He turned around. And as he's walking away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says something so profound. He says, Wallahi la azidu ala hadha wa la anqus. He said, Wallahi, I'm not going to do any more than what he said, and I'm not going to do any less. That's it. The Prophet heard him as he walked away. The Prophet looked at the Sahaba. He said, Aflaha in sadaqa. This man will be successful. Huwa fil jannah if he just stays true. You know what's so profound? What's so profound is that the scholars say, a lot of us, we're trying to grow in our spirituality. So someone will message me and like, yo, Sheikh, can I get a special dhikr? You know, like, give me that special joint. That, yeah, I'm trying to get better. So I message you like, yo, what's the hack? What's the like special of God? I'm like, Fajr. Fajr, that's it, bro. They're like, nah, like, you know, more. The scholars, they say, subhanAllah, the Prophet knows that if this man just does the base, his heart will naturally want to grow. His heart will naturally. But what we do, dude becomes Muslim. How many rakah for dhuhr? We supposed to say 4. But you got him doing sunnah mu'akkada, sunnah ghair mu'akkada. You know, tahiyatul masjid, entry. When you come in the masjid, make sure you drop 2. Then get up, make sure you drop 4 more. And then the imam's going to pray 4. Then when the imam is done praying 4, you got to drop 2 more. Dude's like, dang, man, that was.
La. Start people at a point, at the base. The imam, he says, is there anything else? The prophet says, no, that's it. Just do that. And the brilliance is the prophet knows. When you're a new Muslim or you're new on your deen, what shaitan loves to do is make you go all out first week. All out. You try to do everything first week. And shaitan is pushing you on to uzum, azza. Like, go ahead. Why? Because week two, we already know what's going to happen. Week two, you ain't showing up, bro. Why? Because you put too much on you. So the Prophet ﷺ, in a brilliant, this hadith is brilliant because he says, "Aflaha in sadaqa," to a man that said he was only going to do the fard. He will be successful if he stays true to his word. And this man only said he was going to do the basis of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Brilliant. Brilliant. So the imam goes back. Umar says, Umar loved him. Because Umar was a matter-of-fact man. So Umar, afterward, he says, wallah, he goes back to his people. And he gives dawah, and his whole clan becomes Muslim. He was sent by them anyway. But Umar says, wallahi, I never saw a man that asked better questions and gave a better reply than the imam. Than the imam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a tribe, another tribe came, the tribe of Abdul Qais. Again, all of these tribes are coming because they want to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's time now to build that relationship with him. It's the ninth year. There's only a little time left. The tribe of Abdul Qais, they show up. And it's a beautiful story. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's in the masjid. And he says, from the masjid, he goes, there's a tribe coming right now of very righteous people. But they're outside of the city. Umar says, I got up right away and I went to meet them. And I went out and I saw the delegation coming. So he said, I went to the delegation. I said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just spoke of y'all. He's looking forward to meeting you. Come, bisurah, like hurry, come on. And so he travels with them into the city. And as they get close to the masjid, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he goes, Hada sahibukum. He goes, your man is here. Alladhi turidun. The one you want to meet, he's in this masjid. Go. Faramal qawm bi anfusihim. They're traveling. Now, I need you to appreciate this moment. It's so beautiful. These people have been traveling from far away, days worth of travel. They're covered in the dust of the desert. And they're going to meet the Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wassalam. The most distinguished meeting you could ever imagine having. And now they're so excited that they're right there. The narration says, فَرَمَ الْقَوْمْ بِأَنْفُسِهِمْ عَلَىٰ عَنْ رِكَابِهِمْ. So they just drop their luggage and they start walking and some of them running into the masjid. فَمِنْهُمْ مَشَىٰ. Some of them walking. وَمِنْهُمْ هَرْوَلَىٰ. Some of them are running. Some of them are running fast until they get into the masjid. فَابْتَدَرُوهُ قَوْمْ. They all swarm him. They all come close to him. And the sahaba say, وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِلَّا ثِيَابَ سَفَرِهِمْ. They're still wearing the clothes from their journey. They grab the hand of the Prophet. They kiss his hand. There was one young man, and he was the youngest of them. Ashaj was his name. وَهُوَ أَصْغَرُهُمْ. He's the youngest. When they arrived close and everyone ran forward, Asaj, he stayed back. He untied the luggage from the camels. He took it down. He tied up the camel so they wouldn't run off. He opened up his luggage and he took out his best clothes. He takes out his best clothes and he puts them on. فَيَلْبَسُ. He put on his best clothes. ثُمَّ جَاءَ يَمْشِي. And then he comes just walking with composure into the masjid. Now you got to imagine, he's just as excited as everyone else. But he's different. He's thinking about this differently. And so what does he do? He comes into the masjid. فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِي. He goes and he grabs the hand of the Prophet and he kisses it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was an unattractive man. وَكَانَ رَجُلًا دَمِيمًا. He was an unattractive man. And the Prophet ﷺ looks up at him and he looks at his face. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, a man is not judged by his face, but judged by something, two small things, their tongue and their heart. That's what he says to the Prophet ﷺ. He looks at him, he says, Ya Rasulullah, a man is not judged by his face, but judged by two small things, his tongue and his heart. The Prophet looks at him and he says, Fika khaslatain. There are two qualities you have. Yuhibbuhum Allahu wa Rasuluh. Allah loves these qualities and the Prophet loves these qualities that are in you. Al-hilm, you're forbearant. You take things. You're able to take difficulties. You don't break under pressure, under stress. You have hilm. Like the word, like halima, sa'diya, hilm. You could take, you're forbearant. Wal-anat, and you're deliberate. You take your time. As if the Prophet saw everything that had been happening. And some narrations say that where they parked everything, he could see him. He could see him. Now you would think the hadith is over. He's like, wow, great, Allah loves me. La, he says something deep. He says, Ya Rasulullah, أنا أتخلق بهما أم لا جبلني عليهما. He goes, are these qualities that I have developed and worked on in me? I mean, this is a deep psychological question, subhanAllah. He goes, are these qualities of forbearance, my deliberateness, my slowness? He goes, are these qualities that أتخلق بها, that I have developed and built them? Or are these qualities that Allah has just placed in me? The Prophet ﷺ, he says, بَلْ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى جَبَلَكَ عَلَيْهِمَا. He goes, no, Allah has placed this in you. This is beautiful because this tells us it doesn't matter where a person is in their deen. They have within them some of the most beautiful qualities that when they come into the deen, they'll shine. And the hadith to remember is where the Prophet said that human beings are like mines. They're like mines of gold and silver. And what me and you have to be are the people that can go into a mine covered in dirt and smut, go into the mine and pull out the gems that people don't see, clean them off, so that the world then sees it shining. An-nasu kal-ma'ad. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the best of people in jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance, the ones that have good qualities in jahiliyyah. We have neighbors, we have friends, we have co-workers that have amazing qualities. I have family. Amazing qualities. But when they come into Islam, it only accentuates the beauty that they have. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells this man, he says, Ya ma'ashara Abd al-Qais. And then they sat and they learned and they sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he taught him so much. But this is a beautiful hadith because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells each of us to look within inside of ourselves and see what temperaments and qualities. A lot of us just follow everybody else. What's so amazing is Ashad, he didn't go against his nature. His nature wasn't to run like everyone else and just quickly. His nature was to, no, that's not me. So he stayed back and he did what was him. He stayed within his nature. And the Prophet saw that. And the Prophet praised him. And the Prophet told him that these are qualities Allah has put in you. Nurture those, hold them. We don't have to follow the flock. We have to nurture the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within us. In this year, it wasn't only delegations that were coming in, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was also sending people out. But you have to understand that his tone is different now. His tone is different because he knows sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the job is pretty much complete. The job is pretty much complete. And this surah has been revealed and he knows that it's getting close to time to leave. So he has to send people off for dawah and send people off to be in different places. Two people he sent off were Mu'adh bin Jabal and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He's from Yemen. He sent them both back to Yemen. And it's a beautiful story about how he sent them. He sent Mu'adh to be in the north part of Yemen and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to be in the south part of Yemen. And then he said to them a famous hadith. He said, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. When you go to people, yes, siru, make it easy. You're going to give dawah, make it easy. For some reason, there's this mentality that the rightest opinion in Islam is the strictest opinion. Where did this come from? That, oh, yo, that sheikh is stricter. That means that must be the right opinion. What? The Khawarij were stricter than everybody. The Prophet ﷺ said about the Khawarij, you'll look at them and make, to the Sahaba, you'll look at them and think your deen is nothing. But they're in and out of Islam like an arrow, he said. In and out of Islam like an arrow, just go straight through. No effect on them. The Prophet ﷺ taught, he said, yes, siru. Go there, make it easy for people to act on the deen. وَلَا تُعَسِّرُ. Don't make it hard on people. Don't make it hard on people. And then he said, وَبَشِّرُ. And give glad tidings to people. وَلَا تُنَفِّرُ. Now this is crazy. If you know Arabic, what's crazy is the word bashir, the opposite of it is nadir. Bashir means to give glad tidings. Nadir means to warn people. And the Quran tells us that the Prophet had two jobs. Bashiran wa nadhira. He gave glad tidings. Like, you do this, you got Jannah. But he also told us, yo, you do this, it goes the other direction. So the Prophet ﷺ said, wa bashiru. He didn't say, wala tu nadhiru. He said, wala tu nafiru. He said, don't repel people. Give glad tidings and don't repel. He didn't say don't give admonishment. People need to understand what we need to be afraid of. People need the warning. But if the warning or the bashara, the glad tidings, pushes people away, you miss the objective. So the Prophet is so profound. He says, bashiru wa la tunafiru. Give glad tidings and don't push people away. And how many of our masajid push people away? How many of our communities push people away? Brother convert comes in, got a tattoo, everybody's staring at him. Bro, chill. Chill. You know one hadith says all of the sins of a person from jahiliyyah become good deeds? All of the sins become good deeds. But here we are. Everyone's staring, everyone looking. Alhamdulillah, the community is becoming more woke, but the masjid needs to be a place where people just feel welcome. They feel like they can come in. It feels like home. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, bashiru wa la tunafiru, and help one another. It's the end of the ninth year. Muaz, as I told you, he's being sent to Yemen. Muaz was a handsome man, and he had very good character, and he was extremely generous. For those three reasons, he had a lot of debt. He had a lot of debt. He was very handsome. He had great character and extremely generous. That means he took a lot of loans for other people, not for himself. So he had a lot of debt. And so the Prophet ﷺ is sending him off to do work. He's going to work for the deen. He's going to give dawah. The Prophet ﷺ, he looks at him. He says, Ya Muaz, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will amend your state and he'll pay off your debts through this work you're doing. He says, you're going to the people of the book. You're going to Christians and Jews. There was a large Jewish population in Yemen. He says, you're going to the people of the book. He says, call them. Look what he says. Call them to the oneness of Allah. Don't focus on all the other stuff. Don't focus. Call them to the oneness of Allah. And call them to the prophethood of Muhammad. If they listen, look what he says. He says, if they agree, teach them that there's prayer. And he says, and then if they agree and they start acting, teach them that there's fasting. And if, look at the Prophet ﷺ's method. He didn't say, walk up to the people of the book, be like, yo, this is the deen right there. You can read through it if you want. We got Hajj, you got Ashura too, you can fast. La, Rasul ﷺ said, no, oneness of Allah. Oneness of Allah. And if you look in a practical perspective, when the Prophet ﷺ was working with Abu Talib, he said on his deathbed, he says, just say La ilaha illallah. Just say that. That's all I want from you. I'll fight, I'll argue with Allah on the day of judgment. Just say that much for me. So the Prophet ﷺ, he says, if they agree to that, and he keeps telling him, I want you to learn the method of tadrij, progression and growth in people's in people's Islam. Look at this brilliant method the Prophet taught us. Tadrij, slow progression for people. Slow progression for people. And then he said, beware about the dua of the oppressed. Don't oppress people. You're going as a leader. Don't oppress anyone. Because there's nothing between the dua of the oppressed and Allah. Allah hears the dua of the oppressed. They're not unheard. They're not unheard. His final words, Abu Musa, Mu'adh, he says that the final words he gave me, he says, I placed my foot in the stirrup of the horse, and the Prophet is under me because I'm on the horse. I'm up on the horse, and I put my foot in the stirrup, and I climb onto the horse, and the Prophet is looking up at me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Mu'adh, let your behavior and your akhlaq, your manners, be the best towards people, O Mu'adh. This is the advice he's giving to the man he's sending to do dawah. It wasn't the intricacies of aqidah. It wasn't the intricacies of fiqh. He said, let your manners and your akhlaq, your character, be your best guide. That's all people should know you for. And Mu'adh says, as my camel was leaving, he walked with me to see me off. He always did it, but it felt different this time. And then he stopped and he looked up at me and he said, Oh Mu'adh, it could be that this will be the last time you see me. Perhaps you will not see me after this year. Perhaps you will pass by my masjid and it will be my grave. Mu'adh at that moment realized that he was talking on a different level, and Mu'adh started to weep like a baby. I've known this man for so long, and this has been the man that has been guiding me, helping me. What do you mean you won't be here next year? We can't imagine life without you. What does that mean you won't be here? And then the Prophet looked at him and he said, O Mu'adh, the people who deserve me the most are the people of taqwa, wherever they are and whoever they are. They're the ones that are closest to me. The people of consciousness of God, the people remembering Allah. He said, you're leaving me, but you're with me as long as you're a people of taqwa. He said, the people, can you imagine what he's feeling when the Prophet is saying, perhaps you won't see me next year? Do we know what he was for them? What it symbolized? And so Mu'adh heads off. And the next time he comes back is well after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away. And he's sitting with Umar and Abu Bakr, and they're just remembering the good old days of what it was like when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was arrived. But his last words to him were, let your behavior and manners towards people be the best, O Mu'adh. That's his final advice to a man that he's saying, I'm going to see you for the last moment. That's his final advice to him. And then he says that the people that are closest to me will be the people of taqwa, whoever they are and wherever they are around the world. Banu Thaqif, another tribe. Banu Thaqif are from Ta'if. Do you know what the people of Ta'if did to him his whole life? They were the ones who stoned him when he was with his adopted son. They threw rocks at his ankles just because he wanted to spread this message, La ilaha illallah, that God is one and that he's a messenger of God. These are the people who the angels came and said, if you want, we can crush these mountains over them. He said, no, I have hope that from them will come righteous people. And then the battle of Ta'if came, Hunain and Banu Thaqif. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. And they fortified themselves. They didn't come out, and the Prophet just went back to Medina. After some time of being in Medina, Banu Thaqif shows up. Well, actually, Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi shows up. He was someone that we spoke about before. He comes and he meets the Prophet ﷺ. He takes his shahada. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going back to Ta'if and I'm gonna bring them all back Muslim. The Prophet says, I don't think you should do that. They don't like me over there. He goes, no, but they love me and they'll follow what I'm saying. And so he goes back. He goes back. He starts to talk to them. They reject him. You're the worst of us. You're a traitor. The next morning, Fajr time, he goes up outside of his house and he starts to give the adhan. They pounce on him. They kill him. The Prophet ﷺ said he's like the man from Yasin, Surah to Yasin. The man who went to his people and said, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun. Oh, I wish my people knew. He was shaheed. But he was, as he was dying, the Quran says he's dying and it looks like he's in punishment. It looks like he's in pain. But as his soul is leaving and the angels are taking him, he goes, I wish my people knew how joyful this was. He's shaheed. He's dying for no other reason than saying, La ilaha illallah. Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukramin. The Prophet ﷺ said he died the death of the man of Yasin. They kill him. After a month, they realize, you know what? What are we doing? Let's go. Let's go meet Muhammad. Let's go talk to him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So a month passes. They say, let's go. They had no other option. For them, there's a lot of political motivation here because what are we going to do? How long are we going to go against this? But the narration is beautiful. They start to arrive and Mughira bin Shu'bah, he's outside of Medina. He's like shepherding the camels. And he sees them coming and they get close. And he says, who are y'all? There's a whole entourage of them. They go, we're from Ta'if, Banu Thaqif. He gets excited. He starts running into Medina because he knows there's nothing that will bring more joy to the Prophet than these people coming and accepting Islam. These were the people that stoned me out of the city 15, 16 years ago. And these were the people I made dua for so much. He goes, there will be nothing greater than them taking shahada. He's on his way into Medina. Abu Bakr sees him coming. Abu Bakr stops him and he goes, where are you going? He goes, Thaqif is coming in. Abu Bakr goes, by God, please let me take the news to the Prophet ﷺ. By Allah, let me, please, bro, please. Let me be the one to bring happiness to the Prophet ﷺ. I don't know. He pulled rank because Mughira, he said, okay. Mughira goes, okay, go tell them. They're on their way. I'm going to go back and tell them, like, come on in. So Mughira goes back and he stops them and he says, let me teach y'all how to say salamu alaikum. I'm for real, seriously. Yeah, he's like, let me teach y'all how to greet him. All right, repeat after me, right? Like he's teaching them the greeting of Islam. So kayfa yuhayyi ar-rasul, how to greet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't just, ya Muhammad, you know, like kayfak, la. Do it the right way. There's adab. There's ways to do this. So he taught them. They come in. They meet the Prophet. They forget what to say. They say the old jahiliya thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they brought gifts for him. The Prophet took the gifts. They put them to the side. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered that an area of the masjid be marked off for them to stay in the masjid. فَأَنْزَلَهُمْ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. Why? He knows in their heart there's still reservations. But that's only because you haven't seen how we roll. That's only because you haven't been in the masjid. Wallahi, all of these hardcore, like, I'm trying to behave, yo. If they just came in the masjid, if they just sat in Ramadan, if you just saw the, come to Sohbah, just sit in Sohbah. Just come and watch the prayer. Just come and be a part of the community. The Prophet's like, I don't have to give dawah. This deen is dawah. This is profound. This deen is dawah. I don't have to speak to you. He said, there's a spot in the masjid. Y'all stay here. لِيَكُونْ أَرَقَّ لِقُلُوبِهِمْ. I already know what's going to happen. When you hear Bilal call the adhan, And then you hear Salat al-Fajr, and you see all the believers praying in this dark masjid, simple masjid, but you feel the nur, done. Done. It's beautiful.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يعني ضرب لهم قبة في ناحيتي.
He had a tent put up in the masjid, in the corner.
حيث يسمعون القرآن.
So that they can hear the Quran. We want you to just hear it. Just hear it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every day, there was a young boy. He was like 13, 14. He was with them, but his heart wasn't with them. His heart was already with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every day, this young boy would go to the Prophet on his own. Teach me this, teach me that. And the hadith says, if the Prophet was sleeping, he would go to Abu Bakr. He said, teach me another surah. Teach me this, teach me that. Well, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every night, he would come to the delegation. And he would sit with them. يُحَدِّثُهُمْ قَائِمًا عَلَىٰ رِجَلَيْ He would stand in the back of the masjid and just talk to them. It says قَائِم. But then it says he would stand so long that he would have to actually like switch feet because he's standing so long talking to them. What was he talking about? The oneness of Allah? The deen? The day of judgment? لا. وَأَكْثَرُ مَا يُحَدِّثُهُمْ مَا لَقِيَ مِنْ قَوْمِ قُرَيْشِ He was talking about what he was going through against the Quraysh. Man, Quraysh were giving me a hard time. The masjid is doing dawah. I don't need to keep beating your head with dawah. So he would just talk to them about what's going on. Man, the Quraysh, they gave me a hard time. That was tough. And he's just talking to them. One day, and look at his organization. We all struggle with time management, right? We struggle with giving people their haq. One day, وَتَأَخَّرَ عَنْهُمْ يَذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ One night, he came a little late to sit with them and meet with them and talk with them. فَقَالُوا لَقَدْ أَبْطَأْتَ عَنَّا لَيْلَةٍ You came late tonight. فَقَالَ إِنَّهُ طَرَأَ عَلَيَّ جُزْءِ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ He said, I didn't get to read my juz of Quran today. The Prophet ﷺ. He said, I didn't get to read my portion of the Quran today. فَكَرِهْتُ أَنْ أَجِيَ حَتَّى أَتِمَّ I didn't want to come and talk to y'all till I read my Quran. Look at the prioritization of the Prophet ﷺ. Don't let the dawah be an excuse for you to not have your personal ibadah. Don't let your dawah, you can't put your mask on first, Habibi. The Prophet himself, he came late to a dawah meeting. Why were you late? I had to finish my ibadah. There was a juz of Quran I didn't get to read yet. فَمَكَثُوا They stayed in the masjid for some time. يَخْتَلِفُونَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Going back and forth to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So finally they say, Ya Rasulullah, we're ready. The Prophet's like, all right, what's up? They're like, we're ready. But we got some conditions. We're ready to become Muslim. Condition number one, no salah. Huh? Condition number two, y'all ain't ready. Zina is allowed. Yeah, if you don't know it, I ain't translating it. Fornication. It's allowed. It gotta be okay. And number three, we have an idol called Lat. They had Lat and Uzza. We need about 3 months to get rid of it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so compassionate. He was so understanding. When the waft of Najran came, give me a second, because I need you to see the balance of him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The waft of Najran came, they were all Christians, and they brought the head Christians out. They brought the big guys out. Bishop, this dude, that dude, everybody came. When they got to the masjid, it was time for them to pray. Back in the day, the Christians, they had their time set. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? It wasn't just Sunday. They had their times. And they would face towards Jerusalem. So when they got to the masjid, it was prayer time. Allahu Akbar. They started to pray. All the the Muslims are like, oh, yo. The Prophet's like, chill, let them pray. Let them pray. That's how we do dawah. Let them pray. Don't worry. They'll see the deen. They'll learn the deen. They'll learn Allah is one. But when these people came and they said, Ya Rasulullah, first condition, we're Muslim, no salah. The Prophet said, what deen is there if there is no prayer? That's heavy for us today. Because we could get as spiritual as we want, y'all. We could get as spiritual, feel the vibes, all of it. I don't know what. Like, prayer, yo. Prayer is that connection. Prayer is that connection. And what stops us, I think, is some of us haven't been praying so long. So Shaitan is like, don't start. La, the opposite. Just start now. Who cares how long you didn't pray? Today is a new day. You may pass away tomorrow. You're written as someone that prays now. No, you're not feeling me. Shaitan just was like, yo, you ain't been praying for like 5 years. Why are you going to pray now? Because I might pass away tomorrow. And because I might pass away tomorrow, if I start now, I'm written as someone that prays. Begin. The prophet says something profound. He says, I'll bend where I can bend, but this I never bend on. What deen is there if there is no prayer? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they asked for zina. That ain't happening. That ain't happening. There was a young man who came on his own. And he was Muslim, but he came really like straightforward. And there were people around. And I don't know if they're the same incident, but they're very similar. He came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, idhin li fi zina. He said, Oh Rasulullah, please allow me to commit fornication. And the Prophet, the Sahaba jumped up. How dare you talk to the Prophet like that? The Prophet said, back off, get away from him. And he sat him down. And then he sat with him and he said, young man, do you have a mother? And subhanAllah, you got to imagine this society that's so connected as a family. He's like, yeah, I have a mother. He's like, do you have a sister? Now he's remembering Baji, you know what I mean? He's remembering his older sister. He's remembering her in all these memories. He's like, yeah, I got a sister. He was like, how would you feel if that was done with them? He said, astaghfirullah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And he gets a guttural reaction to it. And he's like, how do you think other people feel? And he's like, subhanAllah. The Prophet said, come close now. The Prophet then touched his chest. And he said, oh Allah, remove this filth from his heart. He said, he took his hands off my chest. He says, wallahi, there was no sin I hated more after that moment than zina. But he worked with him. He didn't run him out. He sat down with him. He did a proper psychoanalyst. Like, that was a session right there, yo. Like, yo, you could charge for that joint. Like, psychodynamic, right? He's going in your history. Like, do you have a mom? I'm not trying to, whatever, you know what I mean? But it was a beautiful moment where he was connecting him to his family and other women and getting him to get an emotional connection. But he didn't run him off. He didn't run him off. And as a result, that man says, there was no sin that I hated more after that moment than that sin. So the Prophet says, no, you're going to have to pray. I'm not giving up on that. And zina's out of the question. They said, Ya Rasulullah, but the idol. Now you may think like, wait, are they still holding on to the shirk? That wasn't it. They were scared that if we go back and break this idol, our nation is going to go against us. We're going to be killed the way Abdullah bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi was killed. So they said, Ya Rasul, give us 3 months. He says, no, idolatry doesn't exist. It's done. It's done. So then the Prophet said, I have a solution. You don't have to break the idol yourself. Look at the compassion. He said, I don't want you to break the idol. I don't want you to break it. I'm going to sit Khalid bin Walid after y'all leave. No, but it's brilliant. Because that's hard for them. That's difficult for them. He goes, I'm going to send Khalid. Khalid going to come handle business. And y'all won't get blamed for it. And that's exactly what the Prophet said to them. They went back. They gave dawah to the people. The people at first refused. But then they kept talking to the people. And they all of Banu Thaqif becomes Muslim. And Ta'if is what it is today because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had so much compassion for them. There's one more. There's a longer narration about the tribe of Najran. And I'm just going to say it from memory because we only have a few minutes until prayer time. They sent about 70. Najran is south of Medina, towards Yemen. And it was an enclave of Christianity. And a lot of Abyssinians have come over with Christianity from there. So it was just this, it was like 60 different tribes in this one place, and they were all very strong Christians. And so they got letters from the Prophet ﷺ inviting them to Islam. And so they came with everybody. They came with everybody. And amongst the bishops and amongst the priests, there are those who have already in their heart understood who he is. And there are those in their heart that are like, no, we have to resist this as much as we can. So they come to meet the Prophet ﷺ, and they're coming completely like with gold and with their silk robes, and they're looking like top pristine people. They walk into the masjid and they give salam to the Prophet. They greet him. He doesn't even look at them. Doesn't even look at them. They greet him a few times. He doesn't respond. They go to Abu Bakr. They go to Umar. Finally, they go to Ali. Ali goes, you got that clothes on? You got to change your clothes. Y'all are too up there. He's not going to talk to you dressed like that. He's not, because there's a hikmah here, I'll tell you. So they go and they put on really just simple clothes, right? Nice but simple clothes. They come the next morning. The Prophet sees them. He says, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. They said, we spoke to you yesterday. You didn't talk to us. He said, yeah, I saw shaitan with you. I don't talk to people with shaitan with them. Those clothes put your mind in a different state. You weren't ready to listen with that high horse you were sitting on. You weren't ready for dawah. I needed a humble mind that wants to have dialogue, that wants to understand. He said, I saw shaitan with you. I don't talk to people with shaitan. I'm sorry. So they come and they start to talk. The Prophet's like, become Muslim, yeah. Just straight up, become Muslim. And you could go do this. If you go to some of the inner cities, you ain't got to explain. Just tell people, yo, be Muslim. They'll tell you, they'll be like, yeah, I'm thinking about it. See, you're like, dang, I didn't have to say nothing. Because never mind. All right, anyways. Every African-American got that Muslim uncle, you know what I mean? Yeah, everybody got that uncle. So it's like, anyways. So subhanAllah, the Prophet, I said him, he says, become Muslim. They say, we are Muslim. But they mean, we submit to God. The Prophet said, no, you haven't. You still worship Jesus and call him God. You still worship Jesus and call him God. This is one of the moments where the Prophet has the most in-depth interfaith conversation. And this is the moment where all of Surah Ali Imran is revealed. Right at this moment, the entire Surah Ali Imran, the whole thing is revealed at this time. And so they push back. They say, what do you say about Jesus? He says, I say that Jesus is the word of God. The Prophet says this, alayhi salam. He's the word of God. He's the spirit of God. He was blown into the womb of Mary, who was chaste and a virgin. They up there like, hallelujah. Right? They're like, yeah. So they say, well, then he's God. What do you say about one who has no father? The verse is revealed. Mathaluhu kamathali Adam. The example of Jesus is like the example of Adam. If you think Jesus is God because he has no dad, then what is Adam? Because he don't have either. And the Prophet begins to engage in dialogue with them, dialogue, and he's talking to them. Some of them realize, some of them are staunch. So they want to try something. They say, Ya Rasulullah, but they're not calling him Prophet yet. So they say, Ya Muhammad, let's do mubahala. What is mubahala? Mubahala is crazy. Mubalaha is you bring your family and he bring his family and we both make dua that, oh Allah, whichever one of us is lying, strike him down. If you real, then come. The next morning, the Prophet comes with Fatima. She's holding Hassan and Hussein. They're babies. They're babies. The Prophet's coming with Fatima, with Ali, his family, the Azwaj Mutahara. He's walking over. And the priest, they see him. And they're like, bro, we can't do this. We cannot do this. If this man is a prophet, we are done. And some of them already know who he is. So the Prophet is standing there. And what's amazing to me is he's holding Hassan and Hussein. And this man is going to pray to God and say, God, whichever one of us
is not true and knows the truth and going against the truth, strike them down. This is a man who's worshiped God his whole life. He believes in God to the core of his existence. And so when that moment came and they saw him holding these two grandchildren with his daughter Fatima right next to him and the Azwaj Mutahara walking right next to him, they said, "No, we're not about this. This ain't happening." They said, "Go talk to him. Tell him we're not going to do this. You know, we'll be allied. We'll be allied. We're going to go back to our city. We'll talk to our people. We're not going to become Muslim. We're going to go back." And so they go back. A week later, two of the priests sneak away and come and accept Shahada. They come back. They say, "Yo, we already knew what was up, but we couldn't do it with all them. So we're going to take our Shahada right now. We're going to take our Shahada right now." This was the year Am al-Wufud. This was the year the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the indication that his job of spreading this message was coming to a conclusion. And a message for us is, as we see things working out, as we see things in our life working out, what do you do next? Glorify Allah, seek revenge, seek forgiveness, and stay focused. Innahu kana tawwaba. Stay focused on Allah. The whole purpose was connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so never lose your connection. We only have a few more sessions of this left because we can't extend the seerah. There's a time when it ends. So we'll stop here, inshallah ta'ala. Next week, we'll talk about Hajjatul Wida. And the week after that will be the very difficult conversation of how the Prophet passed away. May Allah make it easy for us. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. نستغفرك واتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله